At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me here on episode 47 of the 90 Feet From Home Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We are presented by Underdog Fantasy, and I'm your host, Joe Orico. You guys can check me out over on Twitter, at JoeOrico99. That's where I post all of my newest work, whether it be these shows, any articles that I write, updates on my Patreon, literally all of my fantasy baseball content. You guys can keep track of that by dropping a follow, at JoeOrico99. We are going to be doing two shows today. Like I'd mentioned earlier in the week, we were kind of going back and forth, seeing if the schedule would allow for two shows, but we are in fact going to be doing two podcasts today. This one will be what you guys are used to hearing when I go solo. We're going to be breaking down Thursday's slate. We're going to be talking about the popular pickups and drops on the waiver wire. And then later on today, Toby Gavon, who you guys probably know better as Batflip Crazy, is going to be joining me for a more strategy-based discussion. We're going to move away from the player analysis. That's typically what I focus a lot of my time on here. We're going to be doing a more strategy-based show later on today, so really looking forward to that one. If you guys haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribing to the show. Help me out with any ratings and reviews you guys can give as we still continue to grow this thing out. We're approaching 50 episodes. Hard to call ourselves a new show anymore, but I really do appreciate any help you guys can give me with those ratings, reviews, subscriptions, etc. But let's start breaking it down. Let's talk about Thursday's slate, and I don't think there's anywhere else to start except for Mr. Paul Skenes. I think there's a good argument to be made at this point, without hyperbole, that he is the best pitcher in baseball. Like, there's not much debate in my mind at this point. He was hyped up so much that you started to think, well, you know, when your friend tells you, like, this movie's amazing, you got to see this movie, you got to see it, you got to see it, and then you go and watch it, and you're like, okay, you know, you oversold it a little bit. That is not at all what we've seen from Paul Skenes so far. Yesterday, it was 7 shutout innings with 11 strikeouts and 1 walk, 33% CSW, and an 11.1% swinging strike rate. The funny thing is, this was not even the best version of Skenes we've seen this year. This was maybe, he's made 11 starts. This was maybe his 4th or 5th best start of the season. It's just incredible how good he has been. Through his 11 games, he's a 6-0 record, which I don't want to read too much in a record, but it does, you know, it's just another thing in his favor. 190 ERA, 0.92 whip, 89 strikeouts to just 13 walks over 66 and a third innings pitched. He is truly a generational talent. There was a tweet yesterday by somebody who works with Underdog. Paul Skenes joins Nolan Ryan as the only pitchers ever with multiple starts of 6-plus innings, 0 hits, and 11 strikeouts in the same season. Nolan Ryan did it in 1973, and now Paul Skenes has done it. It took him all of 11 starts to do something that nobody had done since Nolan Ryan 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago. It's just an incredible, incredible, incredible season from Paul Skenes. Like, I know we were expecting him to be good. I don't know if we were expecting him to be this good right away. Like, will he stumble a little bit here and there? Sure. But at this point, like, I don't think there's much debate about him being the best pitcher in baseball. Is he better than DeGrom when he's healthy? Probably not. Is he better than Strider? I think it's a conversation. I really do think it's a conversation at this point. He is just super brilliant, and I'm really glad it was announced earlier today that he is going to be starting the All-Star game for the National League, as he should be. With you know, Sale's not an option, Wheeler's probably not an option, Glasnow is gone on the shelf. It made sense, even with all those guys healthy, that they would consider it. You know, I like the giving the smaller market teams more of a spotlight. I said it out on Twitter yesterday, and some people were like, "Well, what about Pittsburgh? You know, people can still appreciate players in Pittsburgh, and it's not like they can't." But you know, Joey Votto was brought up as an example. Ellie De La Cruz, those guys who play in smaller markets, NL Central teams, they're not gonna get the same type of exposure as you're going to see from the Yankees, the Red Sox, etc. You're not going to see them on Sunday Night Baseball. You're not going to see them talked about as much on the morning shows, whatever. Paul Skeens is definitely a big topic of conversation, but it's good to see that he'll actually be getting that national spotlight starting the All-Star game. It'll probably be Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, some combination of those three for him in the first inning. So that will be a lot of fun. I'm not somebody who usually watches or cares about the All-Star game, but I am very much looking forward to that one. Let's talk about Jack Flaherty. The back seemed just fine against the Guardians yesterday. Six innings, two hits, one earned run with four strikeouts and two walks. 29% CSW and a 13.3% swinging strike rate. Major League Baseball is a bloody joke for not having him on an All-Star game roster. What the fuck are we doing? I know I don't usually use that word on the show, but genuinely, what are we talking about here? Jack Flaherty has been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. Everybody talks about how Tarik Skubal has been the best pitcher in baseball this year. Statistically speaking, Flaherty's been just as good. He really has been. I saw Jeff Passan tweet earlier today, Tarik Skubal has been the best pitcher in all of baseball. And you could make that argument. I mean, you can make the argument for Flaherty as well if you just broke down the numbers. His ERA is a little bit higher, but is that what we're really going off of here? ERA in 2024? I don't know. Jack Flaherty has been absolutely brilliant, and I was somebody who did not like him whatsoever about a year ago at this time. The turnaround has been unbelievable. 313 ERA, 0.98 whip, 119 strikeouts and 16 walks and 95 innings pitched. It's good that he's going to have a little bit of a break over the All-Star weekend because, you know, the back's been troubling him. He did have to miss a couple of turns and he's got his starts pushed back or whatever. But it's insulting that he's not even on the roster. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. It's not right. But it's the All-Star game. At the end of the day, we shouldn't really care so much about it. But I do think it is an egregious slight that Jack Flaherty was not selected. Let's talk about Landon Knack. He was one of the guys I talked about on Leading Off yesterday. I was really expecting he would get the start, but they ended up using an opener. Knack came in after him, and he was still pretty solid. 4 1/3, 6 hits, 3 earned runs with 5 strikeouts and 1 walk. 31% CSW, 12.8 on the swinging strike rate. Hard contact and home runs have been a problem for him, but through his first 40 Major League innings, I think it's actually 39 innings, he's been very impressive. 3.23 ERA, 1.05 whip with 36 strikeouts and just 10 walks. The entire Dodgers pitching staff is on the injured list. We were talking about it yesterday on the show. If you guys missed it, I hosted Leading Off the last couple of days with Joe Pizzapia on Fantasy Pros, and we were talking about this a little bit. James Paxton is the guy at the top of their rotation. If you look at roster resource on Fangraphs, they're missing everybody. Landon Knack is going to be needed down the stretch. We're talking about a guy who has good stuff, who's pitching for the Dodgers, is going to have a role. Like, I think he's kind of undervalued, 22% on Yahoo yesterday. And then you see some drops today because he wasn't super, super great. I guess if you're just looking at like the fantasy line for the day, that's the thing. There is a bit of a disconnect when you look at fantasy lines versus performance. Like he had a 6.23 ERA and a 1.62 whip for the day, but it really wasn't that bad. But we've seen a lot of drops because of it. Landon Knack has been dropped in 2,500 plus leagues today. He was 22% when I put my notes together last night. He's at 19% right now. I see him as a solid 12-team asset. I really do. A pitching for the Dodgers in and of itself is so, so valuable. He's got good strikeout upside. I think that there is a good chance that Landon Knack is a really good fantasy asset down the stretch, and he's not somebody I would just be leaving on waiver wires unless we're talking really, really shallow leagues. That's a bit of a different story, but I think 12-teamers and beyond, he's somebody that you should be having some interest in, Landon Knack for sure. Let's talk about Jordan Hicks. Really ugly stuff from him against the Blue Jays yesterday. 4 1/3 with 8 hits and 5 earned runs. He allowed first inning runs to the Blue Jays. That seems like it's almost impossible, but the Jays actually got to him early yesterday. 1 strikeout and 1 walk. Brutal stuff with the 1 strikeout. 25% CSW. And here's the kicker, 5.7% on the swinging strike rate. He started off so brilliantly, but he's been genuinely bad for the last 8-plus starts. Like it's over a 6 ERA over his last 8 outings. The hard hit rate has gone up. It's been a pretty ugly little ride for Jordan Hicks and his managers. He's on pace to well surpass his previous high in innings pitched. He's at 95 after today. The previous high for him was 105, and that was in 2017 at low A and high A combined. And we're talking about 7 years since he's really put that kind of strain on his arm. My expectation is that he'll continue to degrade as the season goes along, and he'll be essentially unusable when it comes time for fantasy playoffs. I don't think that he's a sell high, because I don't know if that phrasing really applies here, But I'd be doing what I can to sell him for whatever you can. Like, we're seeing the roster rate start to plummet. The ERA is still not too bad. It's still in the threes, so you might be able to actually use that as like, oh, well, the ERA is not so bad. You know, you can pull that on some folks. But I would be doing what I can to get him off your roster before you're left holding the bag. I think there's a chance you're going to be shit out of luck if you're just thinking, well, he's going to turn it around, whatever. Like, there's a good chance he either A, hurts himself, or B, the Dodgers don't keep him in the rotation, trying to preserve him for what they're maybe still hoping for a playoff run. I think every team in the National League is still kind of hoping, outside of maybe the Marlins and the Rockies. Everybody's got a decent chance. So it depends on what happens with the Giants exactly, but there's not really many scenarios where I see it working out for Jordan Hicks. And if you're holding on to him expecting that there's going to be some big turnaround as he exceeds his previous high in innings, which we haven't seen in a while, like I said, I just don't really expect things to turn out very well for you. Even in 15 teamers, I think that he's pretty close to a drop at this point. Let's talk Albert Suarez. He has been a popular pickup this season at certain points, and he's done well at certain points as well. But yesterday was bad. Overall, I think there's some pretty bad stuff coming for Albert Suarez if you just look below the surface a little bit. So yesterday, 5 innings, 6 hits, 4 earned runs with 4 strikeouts and 2 walks, 24% CSW, 8.9 on the swinging strike rate. I think the miracle run that he was on is probably over. Like, there was a time when he was just so, so valuable for you earlier this season. But you're talking about a 34-year-old, a 34-year-old who came out of nowhere and had success with like a 10% strikeout minus walk rate, XFIP and Sierras in the high fours. It just didn't seem like it was going to last, even with that massive, massive wall in Baltimore and the way they've made it more of a pitcher's park. I just don't really think that there's a lot there. I didn't really think there was a lot there to begin with, but he was kind of, you know, making me think, well, maybe there is something. But at the end of the day, like, you just can't get by with an 18% strikeout rate if you're walking more batters than that. You can't get by really in any event with that kind of strikeout rate. But when your walk rate is at 8.4, there's not a lot of wiggle room here. His roster rates on Yahoo have been kind of egregiously high for a while. He's at 35% now. He was at 41 yesterday, so people are starting to cut him a little bit. But I think that number still shows a little bit too much optimism. He can be a serviceable streamer, I think, in the right matchups, but he's not somebody you should trust as a mainstay if you're talking about standard size rosters in 10 and 12 team leagues. 15 teamers, maybe, but even then, I don't think there's a hell of a lot here with Albert Suarez outside of he pitches for a good team and you might get the odd win. But in terms of the performance you're going to get, I don't trust it as far as I could throw it. Let's talk Masataka Yoshida. Had himself a nice day, going 3-for-4 with a homer and 4 runs driven in. He's hit a couple homers this week. Not something I'd really expect to continue, but he's picked up the pace in general over the last couple weeks. He's got the 2 homers. He's 15 for his last 45. He scored 5 runs. He's driven in 11. A lot of people gave up pretty early in the season, but I think there could be some value in the second half. I think he's pretty close to 12-team viable, specifically if you're talking deeper, like 5 outfield, 12-teamer kind of thing. But even in standard-sized leagues, I think you could maybe make it work. As an everyday player in the middle of the Red Sox lineup, he's a decent batting average asset, which are pretty hard to come by on the wire. He's pretty far down there in terms of Yahoo roster rates. Last night when I put these notes together, 39%, he's up at 40. Not a hugely popular ad. There's more than 1,000 pickups today, so he's still a popular ad, but not one of the more popular players who are being picked up today. I think there's some room for that roster rate to continue to go up. It is justified at this point. We saw him have a really solid first year last year. It was a 289 average, 15 homers, 8 steals. Decent run in RBI numbers, and I think we can continue to see that in a Boston lineup that's actually been pretty damn good. So I do like Yoshida as a 12-team pickup if you are looking for some outfield help, and specifically if you're lacking in batting average. And I think most teams are always, people are usually looking for some batting average help, especially in the current environment where league average is like, what, 230 or something. You're getting a guy who is probably going to hit 270, 280. I think there's a lot of value there. Plus, you get some extras in a good lineup as well. So I do like Yoshida as a pickup. Let's talk about Randy Arozarena. He's mostly turned his season around over the last month or so. 24 for his last 87, 11 runs, 4 homers, 11 ribbies, and 5 stolen bases in a month span. That's really good stuff. 4 homers and 5 steals with a 276. You'll absolutely take it. I'm not sure if the average person has really taken note yet. His batting average being where it is at 203 could mean there's still kind of a buying window on him. There's nothing really in the profile to suggest he's all that different than usual. I think he's probably still going to finish with roughly the same stat line that we're used to. I think maybe the batting average stays a little bit lower than we'd hope because of that early season, just horrendous BABIP. It was a big hole to climb out of. but I'm buying pretty much anywhere that you can at this point. I don't think many people are super big on a Rosarena at this point, and there might be a chance for you to still kind of buy low, even with a better month under his belt. A lot of people will just look at season rankings. They'll look at batting average. If you're looking at Yahoo standard rankings, he's ranked 362nd for the season with a 203 average. But he's on pace for well over a 2020 season. Decent runs. The RBIs are not great, but it's still fine. And especially like when you're talking about a trade at this point, you're not paying anything close to what you paid on draft day, like what you would have had to pay on draft day to get a Rosarena. You're paying like a fourth rounder on draft day. Now, in terms of like equating it to a draft price, you'd maybe have to pay a seventh or eighth rounder for a Rosarena. I do think that would be a worthwhile investment if you are able to make it work.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's talk Cal Raleigh. Pretty incredible season, even though his batting average has been pretty dreadful. 19 homers, 59 ribbies, and I think a huge part of this as well is he's stealing bases. It's only five of them, but for a catcher, that might as well be 20 at this point. Really, really excellent stuff. There's only been seven 40-plus home run seasons from catchers in Major League history. We could be in for number eight if Raleigh is able to keep up this pace. He would need to go pretty hot in the second half, but the power has been just phenomenal from him, really. I think 30 home runs at least, and then you're, 35 is very much within reach, and then I think if he does go for a little bit of a heater here in the second half at some point, and he's been on quite the heater recently, 40 home runs could be within reach for Cal Raleigh, and I wonder where that would put him in drafts next season. We might overdraft him if that's the case. Still playing in Seattle, bad batting average, but really just an incredible season from Cal Raleigh. Haven't talked about him much on the show this year, so I do want to kind of acknowledge what he's been doing. Even with the bad batting average, he's been a fantastic asset. Let's talk Dansby Swanson. He hit a home run yesterday, so this is going to sound a little bit weird, but I don't think he's really a viable option in 10, 12-team standard-size leagues. He's batting .209, .282 on base percentage. He has 35 runs, 9 homers, and 30 ribbies with 5 stolen bases. You just need to do better at shortstop, considering how deep the position is. We've seen Dansby hit a lot of waiver wires recently after being universally owned. He's down into the 60s, and I understand it. There's just not a lot there, especially with all of the nice, cool, young shortstops that you can pick up off the wire. You're getting pretty boring stuff from Dansby, even though, like I mentioned, he had a home run yesterday. He's batting a .172 over the last month, 3 homers and 1 steal in that time. it just hasn't been good, and there's nothing to really say that it's going to massively turn around. Like, his strikeout rate is higher than ever, single-digit barrel rate for the first time since 2019. If we're talking about a 15-team league, if we're talking about an NL-only format, then I'm fine with it. But most cases, most people are not playing in those leagues, and I think you guys in your 10- and 12-team mixers can pretty happily send him back to the waiver wire at this point. Let's move into the pickups of the day. Like I said, this one's going to be a bit quicker, but again, there's a second show coming later today, which is why we're doing this one a little bit like 1.5 speed. Let's talk Sean Manaea, who is the most popular ad of the day. He's facing Colorado. He's been really, really excellent as of late. The last month has been a 157 ERA, 101 on the whip with 27 strikeouts in 28 and 2/3. In a matchup against Colorado, I think you're pretty happily streaming him here. He's been really, really good. It has been a stretch of kind of bad teams recently. Washington and Pittsburgh were the last two that he did well against, but the one before that he did well against the Yankees. I think that there is some value here. I don't know that I really trust him as like a rest of season arm, but I think as a streamer versus Colorado, you're pretty happily starting Manaea in all formats. Yariel Rodriguez is the second most popular ad of the day. I just can't really get behind him at this point until we see some more consistency, especially against a team like Arizona that has been good offensively. Talking about a guy who has walked a lot of batters, hasn't demonstrated a consistent strikeout ability at the major league level. I don't know that this is going to go terribly well for you, unless you're talking a head-to-head league where you're kind of just hoping to catch up over the weekend in terms of volume. I don't think there's a lot here for Yariel Rodriguez. Could he eventually turn into a guy? Maybe, but I think the Blue Jays just kind of missed out on this one. Like, it just seems like they gave a long contract, a five-year deal. It wasn't a ton of money, but I don't really buy into the skills that we've seen so far from Yariel Rodriguez. Unless we get that walk rate dramatically coming down and he starts striking out some more batters, I just don't really see him as that valuable of a pickup. Michael Busch has been super, super hot recently. I've been a skeptic of his for a while. I don't think there's really a hell of a lot here to look at. We've talked about him a couple times as of late. You know, he's still striking out more than 30% of the time. The lineup around him isn't good. He hits a lot of barrels. He has how many barrels this season? It's only 21, actually. I thought it would be more, but it's an 11.8% barrel rate, which is excellent. But we're only talking about 12 home runs in 87 games. Can it be a little bit better? Probably, but even if he hits another 12 home runs and you're finishing with like 24, you're not getting speed. That batting average, I think, is really, really not legit. 386 on the BABIP. That's going to come down pretty dramatically in the second half, I would imagine. He's probably a 230 to 240 hitter without speed, without the benefit of a great lineup. So I can understand it in slightly deeper leagues, but if you're playing 10 and 12 teamers, I think Michael Busch is not somebody that you need to be interested in as anything more than maybe a streamer for now. But in terms of long-term value, I just don't really see it. Rhys Hines is also among the popular pickups. We're seeing a shit ton of ads. He's up to 40% on Yahoo after being zero just a few days ago. The day before he was called up, he was at zero, and we're only talking about five games here. Actually, four games that he's played, but the reason why people are interested, he's 8-for-16, two home runs and two steals in that time frame. I find it hard to imagine he's able to maintain fantasy value with that massive strikeout rate. It's 38% in AAA this year. It was 32% in AA, close to 33% actually in AA last year. That's kind of disqualifying right there. Like, you know, Joey Gallo had all the power in the world, but you strike out 44% of the time, it's not going to help you. And I think that's probably where we're headed somewhere. The projections have him for a 38.5% strikeout rate. That sounds about right, and that might even be selling him a little short. Like, that might be 40. Power speed is really nice. That ballpark is really nice. But I think Rhys Hines is somebody right now where, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but if you're working out a bunch of trade deadline deals and you want to try and include him as a bit of a kicker in a trade, you're doing a 2-for-1 and he's the second piece and you're trying to sell people on the upside, I'd be doing what you can to get him off your squads because I just don't really see this coming to fruition this year. And honestly, that strikeout rate needs to come down like 10% before we're even having a conversation about him, honestly. Let's talk Carson Spears. He's getting the Marlins tonight, and that will be usually a pretty good matchup for everybody. He's not somebody that I trust in and of himself that much, not a lot of strikeouts. I don't think I really trust the ratios at this point. He got blown up by the Tigers in his last start. But the Marlins aspect does mean that he's probably a viable 12-team streamer, but he's not somebody that I'm super, super excited about picking up either. Tyler Stevenson, we talked about him on Patreon yesterday. I did a very long write-up on Tyler Stevenson. If you're interested in seeing those extended quick hits, If you're used to seeing my notes on Twitter, I do an extended version whenever you see them go out, and they're usually about 2,000, 2,500 words, just breaking down usually between 8 and 12 additional players in a lot of depth. And yesterday, one of them we picked was Tyler Stevenson because, well, he just absolutely destroyed the Rockies this last week. He hit 4 home runs. He drove in 8. He scored 6 times himself. It was a 4-game series. He put up production that would be good for most catchers for a month. Now, for the season as a whole, he has 36 runs, 10 homers, 34 ribbies, 1 steal, and he's batting .248. I've been a Tyler Stevenson fan each of the last couple of seasons. This year, I kind of bowed out. I just didn't really buy into it after the big downturn we saw from him last year. But he's the type of guy where I think if you're streaming catchers, he's a perfect option too. If you're looking at a week where they're playing 7 games at Great American Ballpark, that's a really nice option. Even 6 games, if you're looking, if you're somebody who just kind of churns the waiver wire, Tyler Stevenson's only 18% rostered, and I do think there are a lot of times where he does make a viable play. The power's not bad. He can hit for a good average, although it hasn't been so the last year plus, 2 years really. But he is capable of hitting for a decent batting average with decent pop in that batting order, which is okay, but the ballpark is really what does it for you. If you're streaming him for home series, or hell, if they go to Colorado, I think there's a lot to really like there about Tyler Stevenson. Let's move into the drops. Number 1, Albert Suarez. Number 2, Jordan Hicks. We've talked about these guys. Suarez, absolutely. I mean, honestly, both of them are pretty clear drops, but I think with Hicks, you can probably try and trade him first in some leagues. 3.79 ERA might be able to buy you some goodwill there, but I acknowledge it's pretty hard after what we've seen the last couple of weeks. If you can't find yourself a trade partner, then I think eventually Hicks does become a drop. Landon Knack, like we mentioned, dropped a lot. I think that's a little bit premature if you're talking 12-teamers. I wouldn't be in such a hurry to get rid of him unless there is like a can't-miss type of option on the waiver wire. Mackenzie Gore, he got knocked around by the Mets yesterday. 4 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks. It was not good. My good friend John Legeza was talking on Twitter yesterday. He's a writer for The Athletic. We've done a bunch of shows together over the last few years, and he was ready to spit fire about a missed call on Mackenzie Gore. I saw the video. It was fairly close. Would have been strike 3 for him. Would have got him out of the inning. And then he proceeded to allow another 3 runs. So, you know, I don't want to read too much into that. Mackenzie Gore, if you look below the surface yesterday, was not exactly sterling. This is somebody that I still believe in, but I do recognize it's getting harder in shallow leagues at this point. The whip is a problem. I think that he definitely has ace potential, but if you are talking those super, super shallow leagues, I do understand using his spot more for streaming, but I think things will get quite a bit better. Shane Baz was also dropped quite a bit. This one is kind of bizarre to me. He was dropped by more than 2,000 teams. We've seen the roster rate plummet from 64 to 61%. 3 runs on 6 hits with 1 walk while striking out 5. He threw 4 1/3. It was kind of weird. I talked about this on Leading Off earlier as well, and I wrote about it last night. He threw 68 pitches after getting into the 90s his last time out. I think the main reason he came out of the game was that Aaron Judge was due up. But you're talking about a young stud, 68 pitches. You're not giving him that chance to work through some adversity. I don't know how that works for the mentals for a young guy, but I wouldn't love it, certainly. If I'm up there, I'm well under my pitch limit, and I'm seeing maybe the best hitter in the world come up, I would want the chance to face him. Kevin Cash did not give him that opportunity. I wonder what that does to the mentals. But in terms of the skills, Shane Baz is excellent, and I wouldn't let the Tampa nonsense really bother you so much. I do think that over time we'll see less and less of that as he gets more built up. And like, he threw 6 innings, I think it was 93 pitches in his first start. So I want to put this more on the Aaron Judge factor of they didn't want him to face Judge for what would have been a 3rd time yesterday, I believe. So I'm going to look at that as a big reason why the line looks like it does. If he was able to keep going, maybe Judge takes some yard or whatever, but if you're able to go 5-plus innings, like, he only allowed 3 earned runs. And that was, the ERA for the day says 6.23, but it's 3 earned runs. It's not like it was a massive blow-up or something. I think Shane Baz is still really good. And if you're cutting him, I think it's a little bit premature. You held him all season. You see a couple starts you don't like, and then you cut him. I don't really buy into that. One more drop we will talk about, and that's Bobby Miller. Been sent to the minors. They didn't say which level he'd be sent to, I don't think. He's going to be headed to a facility in Arizona to work on some mechanical adjustments, but I don't think they actually said AAA, AA, single A, whatever. With Bobby Miller, the talent is through the roof, and I feel like it's a good sign that he did get sent down and not put on the injured list. If Bobby Miller got put on the IL and they said it was a forearm or an elbow or something, a shoulder, then you'd think, holy shit, this is going to be really ugly. But the fact that they sent him down to work on some things means that there's just something mechanically off as opposed to something underlying more nefarious, like an injury. So I do think that Bobby Miller is still somebody that you hold on to unless you're really desperate in a shallow league. But for most people, I mean, he's dropped down 22% on Yahoo, 87 down to 65. I get the skepticism, but the talent level is through the roof. Bobby Miller, just pure skill-wise, is probably a top 15 starting pitcher in baseball. I know it sounds insane to say. Pure skill, at worst, he's top 20. And I think he works on a couple things. You're still getting 2 months out of him, assuming he comes back up, let's say, you know, late July, early August. I don't think that he's somebody you should be cutting bait with just yet. I know it's been absolutely horrendous. 8.07 ERA, 1.83 whip. We're still talking about just 29 innings. We're talking about a guy with some of the best stuff in all of baseball, pitching for the Dodgers. So I'm not overly concerned. I acknowledge it's not great, but he's not somebody that I'm really willing to cut either. But that will do it, guys. Like I said, a little bit of a shorter show today. Still wanted to get through what we usually get through, but just at a 1.5 times pace. If you guys haven't done so already, help me out with a rating, review, all that stuff on the podcast. And make sure you're subscribing so you get that show from later today right in your feed with Toby. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've never done a podcast together. We've dined together. We've hung out together in Arizona. But I've never actually been behind the mic with Toby, unless I'm forgetting something. But I don't think we ever have. So this one will be a lot of fun. Make sure you guys are tuning in later on today. But that will do it for now, guys. I'll talk to you again soon. But until then, take care.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. To start your free trial of SiriusXM today, visit SiriusXM.com/believe.